Welcome, everyone, to the City Council Chambers here tonight. I'm Phil Sampson with the City of Salina. A little bit different from a traditional public meeting that would be run by council. This is a meeting for the public, just to understand, so we can explain what the TIP is and how it could possibly work here in the City of Salina. This was a recommendation of possibility of establishing a TIP when we get our downtown hazard fund. We look at the next step, and then the city is working with Glenn Grisley, well, probably down in Bowling Green, who's a consultant in this type of work, and he's helped council and myself understand it a little bit better. And tonight, we want to provide info about the TIP, want to hear what questions you have about it. And council will be in the same situation, that they'll be able to answer the questions, and they can answer questions that you might have for them, too. So it's still, we're in this, nothing's, you know, set yet of what we're going to do. Tonight, we're using an example of the streetscape, because that's something that the city wants to do, and it would meet the requirement of a project that could be funded through the TIP. But it's all as an example, nothing, again, has been decided, the council's going to decide that. But I think what we hear tonight from you, the questions, is this something you want to move forward with? And I think those are some of the things we hope to get answered. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Glenn, and we'll get started here with, he's got a little presentation, then we're going to open up for questions. When we do go to questions, because we are, with Chuck's help, this will be available on YouTube afterwards, so we can share that with other people that probably couldn't come tonight. We would like to just, when you, if you have a question, your name, either your address of your business or property will help us, and then you can ask your question.
Thank you. My name is Glenn Grisdale, and I'm from Danby and spare time, I've got book on Danby. Today, I'm Danby, been working with this whiteboard. Bill did give you kind of an overview of why we're here. Just for the sake of, I guess, context for me, how many of you in attendance are downtown property owners? Okay, so most of them. Did you participate at all in the downtown master plan process? Were you aware of it? Okay. So most of you kind of understand why we're here, understand the context of it. That's always important to know. I always start this because I think my dad passed away, not even knowing what I did for a living. So I always open up every presentation, ask those folks if they're interested in my religion. With that, I will, let's see here. So today what I'd like to do is go over the project. Most of you kind of understand the project of why we're here. Talk to you quickly about the importance of that project in the community, and then give you kind of an overview of how the TIP works and what it is, actually. So this project basically is in support of the downtown master plan. I believe you finished it last year, and the consultants looked at downtown, they looked at the beauty of your downtown, and looked at ways of continuing the synergy in the downtown, up in the downtown, and building the momentum to help continue the synergy that you have. You have a beautiful downtown, and like most downtowns, that synergy is supported by the public realm space. So what the city wants to do is look for ways to enhance that public realm space. When they got with me, they were thinking about kicking around public realm space that may cost $3 million. I know Bill and city council have yet to really figure out what a dollar amount is. And it's important to kind of figure out what types of downtown investments you want to make. Because at the end of the day, that public realm space should be something that you program to help make your spaces more synergetic with raising the types of investments in way of additional traffic to your spaces and things like that. So right now the city is looking at about $3 million worth of improvements to the downtown, which we know is a good nucleus in the community. These public realm improvements, everyone believes will help the downtown be more attractive and also help to retain and attract additional revenues and bring additional investments into downtown. So last month or the month before, the city made a presentation to the regional chamber. They are looking to augment their general fund revenues with a potential state budget to get some additional dollars to help draw down the cost of this project. And there's a gap of about $880,000 or more. And so the benefit of this TIF is it allows you to improve the public realm space. And the reason why that's important is the public realm space does bring this energy to downtown. There has been a target selected for this downtown area, which is, I think, within the vicinity of Maplewood, Erie Street, and then also, Maplewood, Erie Street. And the benefit of this is to promote additional property investments, to help stimulate some additional public realm space renovation, and to help promote ADA accessibility to about 30 businesses that have some additional ADA improvements that might be needed within that public realm area. There has been some deteriorating supportive infrastructure there, like water and sewer. And over the past several years, city council has allocated about $2 million or more to improve that space. And you can see kind of that space, those improvements to the street lighting and the sidewalks and things like that. And helping the community retain their competitive edge, they are looking to the TIF to be the program to raise some additional revenue. And so I think this is the potential TIF district. You can see it goes from the road all the way over to about here, up to Erie, and then down to pick up Soma, and then the public area of Main Street. We've identified, I think, about 128 parcels that are commercial and industrial in this area, of which the natural valuation could be there. So the benefits of this to the community is that it does help to promote additional private sector investments. You've seen the SOMO project go up, and the SOMO had some really good metrics. About 206 apartments anticipated, about 400 new residents, with about $36 million of new investments in the downtown. It's hoped that this additional public space, realm space improvement, would help to get these folks the downtown safer, and also help to promote additional redevelopment in this target area. And you can see evidence of private sector improvements, like inside of 5, element 112. There's a variety of others that have property owners that have improved their spaces in the last several years. So there are several pictures there. There's ADA issues. You see, just like in downtown areas, where they're addressing this issue right now, we assist them with that economic development. And they've got a variety of properties in their downtown, and they've got a study right now trying to figure out where all the ADA accessibility issues are, and working with the property owners and trying to raise the same source of cash to help offset those improvement costs. And then there's just the need to continue to place making momentum. You'll see at some point in time the streetlights run in, there's new sidewalks and pavers and things like that. They're really attractive to people that want to come to the downtown, shop and spend money. And so this will help with that. So how the TIF works. So in the state of Ohio, there are three sets of taxes. There's sales taxes, there's income taxes, and there's property taxes. And so when a community wants to look to do generate additional revenue to offset their public coffers, there's only three areas that they could really go to. Counties are the only entity in Ohio that are allowed to pay sales taxes. And then you have property taxes that are largely generated county, school districts, and the city get a small portion of the property taxes. And then, of course, there are income taxes, which, you know, a majority of that money goes to cities. Portion of those, you know, a small portion, goes to the other tax in the districts. But the benefit of the TIF is that it's been used widely in the state of Ohio since the late 1970s. And it's there to help fund public infrastructure improvements. So roads, water and sewer, bridges, police stations, fire stations, even parking garages. And then you've got all the public rail spaces, like parks, the trails, sidewalks. All those things can be benefited from a TIF. Perrysburg has a lot of commons. That is a private sector pushed TIF. But there's also TIFs in Northwood. The former Woodville Mall is currently right now underway with a TIF. We're having one right now. The Crossroads in Rossford, that area, that's all that public infrastructure back there was funded with a TIF. And then there's another portion in Northwood that's funded by a TIF. The interchange off the Door Street there, all of that is being funded by a TIF. They're hoping that the new development that's going to go on the property, or the set of properties around there, that new valuation, a portion of that value is going to be captured to pay down the bill, to put all of that in, the roundabouts, and then part of the expressway, the interchange there. So there's a lot of communities that use the program and they use it very well. How it works is it locks in the taxable real value, the real value at the time of the authorization of the legislation. So it locks in that value. And then the additional assessed valuation beyond the locking time is redirected back to the committee to finance the construction of all that public realm space. So it's important to note that at the time that the property value is locked in, the assessed valuation is locked in, the valuation is continued to be paid on the, so the parcels will continue to pay their taxes normally. It's just a new locking value that a portion of it gets redirected back to pay for improvements that are specifically benefiting property owners in this area. Okay? So normally what you would do is you would pay taxes normally, and that money would go to anywhere else in the city, right? In this case, city council wants to pay for public realm space and capture the increased valuation in a certain period of time, over a certain period of time, to specifically benefit just this footprint, okay? And what that will do is hopefully it'll increase the additional synergy. It'll make people more excited to come downtown to visit those public spaces and things like that. So under Ohio Revised Code, cities are allowed to exempt up to 100% for 30 years, but they have to work with the school districts to make sure that a certain percentage of that tax goes back to schools, because the schools are very vital in the community, and that check is only in the Ohio Revised Code. Now, a community can exempt up to 75% of that new increased valuation for not more than 10 years, and they can do it by just sending a coordination letter to the schools. We've been working with the superintendent back in January, and she's been notified. We worked with her and the treasurer and Matt Fisher, who was their counsel, and they're aware of what we want to do, and they are in favor of it. So that's generally how the TIF works. So you've got the baseline property. Over a certain period of time, your properties are assessed every 3 years, okay? The county auditor they're required every 3 years to do a triennial reassessment. And then every 10 years, they do a complete drive-by, they hire someone, and those values are readjusted. And then there's a tax rate, and then you pay the taxes that way. So how this would work, if the city moves forward, all the 128 parcels that are in that target area, they're going to continue to pay taxes, and they're going to continue to go to the general needs of the community. The increased valuation, natural increase, so every 3 years, they might say, you know, your property that's $100,000 is now $102,000. 75% of that additional natural increase is going to get sent back, it's going to get captured by the county auditor, and it's going to be sent back to the city for them to pay off the streetlights, the sidewalks, all this stuff in your public realm area. And then when the bill is paid off, that tip goes away. The goal is that there'll be a natural increase over a 10-year period that may amount to about $880,000, and that'll be enough to close the gap between what they have in their general revenues and what they might get from the state. And so there's that third portion, and that is the natural increase in the taxes. So we looked at, and I tried to model that $880,000 based upon, I looked at from 2004 to 2020, and I looked at the commercial increase. So there was about $63 million of commercial and industrial citywide. In 2020, it was about $98 million in commercial and industrial citywide. And so you can kind of look at the changes of how they have been flowed. And so if we say that in the 10-year period on the lock-in, a 5% increase over 10 years may raise $220,000. If in the 10-year period there's generally a 20% increase, natural increase, in those property valuations in that target area, it may generate $880,000. If it raises less, well then the city will have to pull more money out of their general revenues. Right? So that's kind of how the program works. And the key thing to focus in on is that it's not a new tax. It's just a natural increase in the valuation of your property, rather than going to the general needs bucket, goes into the bucket specifically to manage the field. So the next steps, the city can decide to use the TIF or decide not to. If no, you do nothing. If yes, the next steps would be to figure out a list of exactly what they want to do and the costs, and then figure out the appropriate time frame. We might find that $880,000 is not enough, that maybe they need to capture more value. And if that's the case, we go, we talk to the schools, and they say, yeah, we'd be fine with 100% of that value for 15 years maybe, going back to the city. Or maybe 100% for 30 years, but we want some payments going back to the schools, and that's the negotiation to figure out what that is. But the goal is to figure out exactly what those projects are going to be, what the costs are going to be, and then figure out if the time frame is enough to generate enough natural value. And then work with schools, pass legislation, file legislation with the county and the state of Ohio, and then what they would do is just complete the projects, and then over the course of that time period, the natural increase so all those 128 parcels in there will have a separate code in the county auditor's database, and they'll know any sort of natural increase, a certain percentage, that check will get mailed back to the city, and the city will use that money to pay down whatever it's spent on these project costs. So that is how the math works. But I'm sure. Any slides you want me to put it on? That's my song and dance. I'm sure there's plenty of questions.
Is it 20% over the 10-year time period, or is that not 20% a year?
Oh, no.
Because most of us have a 15% increase in valuation this last time. That seems like that's
not the average. Excuse me, just a couple of
put points again, that table there is tough to read. I will make this available for the presentation and give this to everybody, through email to your contact office, we will get that to everybody. And again, Kevin, if you could just, we want you to state your name and your address, and then, so you can be on record.
Oh, yeah, I'm Kevin, I'm from 6742 Maplewood.
Thank you.
So, to answer your question, this last, I think everyone, I think folks were aware, this last full assessment in 2020, with the home there, your taxes went up.
The last two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, so, the math kind of gets funny, because you are allowed, so, if it goes up 20% over a certain period of time, not in any given year, we're just hoping that the natural increase would be 20% over that 10-year period to capture about 80.
Right, I would just try in my mind, think that that was a sensible number that it would go up over that time.
Yeah, no, you can see here, like in '04, so like, we were tripling up to like, you know, '08, and then you see that property valuations really change. We kind of went down, and then they started going back up, and so, you know, they actually, commercial properties hit a low of 7.9 million, and then kind of dropped back up, as that started to cheap money.
Yes. Kathy McGuire, 392 North Street. Without a list of the projects, I mean, and I'm actually off the, I'm on Monroe Street. Who made the decision on where the properties fell in this tip?
That is a cool question. I can probably answer that. We looked at the downtown and just extending from, is it again, this, this hasn't been set yet, this was just an example of what it could be. So, we wanted to extend, because that's really the gateway into our downtown, is from the expressway to downtown.
But why
weren't
the businesses from the expressway included?
I can't even hear you.
Why weren't the businesses, you know, you got Chow's, and then you got the, cemetery, and those aren't included.
Well, they probably could be. I think we just wanted to give an example. Okay. The cemetery, it's not, but all the businesses, but the, your point about Chow is probably the only thing that's missing on that.
The answer is we did that. We, you know, we talked about it. That's the map we came up with. It's not done. It's a first, you know, this is, you're right about Chow. We ought to have that in here.
Yeah, and
yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And we ought to be, we could be North Monroe. We were steering clear of the cemetery property.
Yeah, there are just a few, very, very few residential properties, and it's one of the reasons I'm sitting here. Very specifically, Maplewood on this side of Maplewood is in until it's one of the only sections that still is all zoned residential. And then there's a few of them down on the South Main that look like they're mostly owned by developers that are included in this. But everything else in this boundary is currently zoned commercial. So why are we picking up the residential properties?
Yeah, so we have to make sure that we have a contiguous boundary for the TIF. The only valuation that's going to be captured is on the commercial and the industrial. The residential taxes will get paid normally. They will not be part of the TIF.
Just add that too, Kevin, that side of the area, again, that we're suggesting is because that was the area that we used for the market study. Downtown.
No, that was not included in the market study.
No, that area that we're marking.
No, that residential side of Maple was not included in it.
Oh.
Is there anything you're talking about? Yeah, it's this row of houses right over here. This is this row of houses right over here. And the issue we have with it is that we've been battling with the city for years over their desire to take over that block as a commercial block. It's been going on for years, and the mayor could attest to that. And, the question becomes, if you bring them into the TIF, is this a drive to make them sign on as commercial properties?
Is the zoning in this area specifically commercial?
No.
It's not residential. Okay.
And the same with some of it on South Main. Now, a lot of those properties I know are owned by developers. They're very, that bump out far down there. Some of that's commercial and some of it is residential. So, but most of the entire rest of the boundaries, in my knowledge, is spent commercial program. But it is, us on Maple, we feel there's a little bit of a target on our back, but.
Yeah. If we're like, are we right here?
Yeah.
We're right there. Yeah, okay. So logically, this would be an easy fix.
Most of the rest of that block is municipal, except for industrial houses. Because it's municipal building, the court building, all of that is, takes up the rest of the block for Monroe Street.
Can we ask you, can we know? Yes, ma'am.
Dealing with industrial, I'm at 5778 Summit Street. I'm B3 zone, but I'm a resident. We don't use our property for any business at all, and don't intend to. Several houses on Summit Street, similar to what Mr. Armstrong is saying, are strictly residents. Is there the ability to have those that treat our property as residences not be considered part of the TIF? Because we don't have anyone to pass off that additional cost to.
There is no additional cost. That hasn't been said yet clearly.
Well,
the TIF does not increase your property taxes in any way.
Yeah. If you're a resident and you have a residential property, your taxes will not be affected by that. Your taxes could generally go up over time, but the increased valuation would not come back to benefit this area.
Can you explain this part of the letter then? In some instances, the increase in tax burden on surrounding non-TIF properties may become unsustainable. Cities often territory are fully abated increase in nearby property taxes for the right of the TIF. And that's just my ignorance. I don't know what this means.
What letter, Jim? What's the property owner that you sent that?
Who's working?
Oh, Anbochy?
Yeah, Anbochy. Can there be a chance of inflated property values in order to pay for this debt?
No.
That would be unsustainable by a regular resident. That's my concern.
Well, wait, I wouldn't say no to that. I mean, the fact is that the goal is to increase the value of our downtown community. And if you are a resident in the downtown community and all the property values around you are going up, there is a reasonable chance that your property value will also go up and your tax burden would go up as part of that. But that would not, that increased tax burden would not come back to the city. It would continue to be distributed to the other taxing entities. With the market, if you look at the market study that was done, the most important thing about the market study, about the downtown study that we did, is the demographic analysis of the potential economic impact just based upon population locale. If you're a resident in our downtown, there isn't, what that market study says is that there are going to be business development, natural economic business development incentives to be interested in your property. You don't have, we don't have a plan to develop anything and move anybody. But what will happen is, when you look at the demographics of our community, there's a very real chance that developers will be interested in your resident. I mean, that's just the reality. And if we did nothing, if we didn't do any of this, that's happening right now because of where people live in Sylvania, the economic buying power of the people in Sylvania, and the desirability of developing in our downtown. So, you know, I'm not gonna lie to you and tell you no, because when as that economic pressure develops, the auditor is going to look at your house and say it's worth more. So that's going to happen whether we do this or not. That's out there right now. And we didn't make up those numbers in that study. If you go and look at the study, it tells you why that economic development pressure exists in our community. And it's real, it's there today, and it's going to probably multiply in the years to come.
Just maybe add on that, Doug, that being in or out of TIF will not affect whether your property taxes will go up. That's done by the auditor. What the TIF does is try to capture the increase so we can use that increase for a project within the area that we define as the TIF area.
So the TIF is not going to touch the tax at all.
It's
just going to go through the normal auditor process.
Right.
Yeah. And there's also a normal process.
In my opinion,
this
gives the city a little bit more money to do improvements.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Because the taxes that I would normally be paying
right.
is going to give them the ability to improve. That's
exactly right. It allows us to keep the property taxes already being paid here in Sylvania rather than going to the library or the zoo or the county. It just gives us a chance to take those same dollars. It doesn't increase taxes at all. It just gives us control in using them in the TIF zone. And I am one of those property owners. I got a letter just like you did. I'm on River Crossing, my office building, and I have the same questions you do. I don't want my taxes to go any higher than they already are.
Could you just explain what that means, just briefly?
The last thing.
Oh,
what? This is from the study. That was from our study. Surrounding non-TIF properties may become unsustainable. Cities often partially or fully abate increased nearby property tax burdens for the life of the TIF. That was right from our study.
And I think that's exactly what Mr. Hanum was trying to say.
Right.
The TIF may increase property values, but you're going to pay it whether you're in the TIF or not.
Right.
So there is a mechanism for that. If anyone feels like their property taxes any per year has gone up too much, for the revision, you get a letter in by the end of, I think you have to get it in by the end of. The end of the year, and they have to see you by March 30th. When you go for a board provision, I think it's 3 to 5 people, and you tell them as to why you think the property valuation is too high. So there's always that buffer for anyone.
And then they go here. Yes,
sir. Yeah, 13, I live at, I think you said, 36 South Street, just south of your apartments. And I guess the thing I don't understand is, this economic development, the downtown is TIF area. Why is it not broader than just the economic area? Why doesn't it go up to all the cities? Are going to benefit from this versus just what's going on the map? Why isn't a broader area? You could capture more money, but you limit it to just the areas that you want to develop.
Yeah, so we have to pick a boundary that seems the natural and logical boundary for where the infrastructure needs to go.
Yeah, but you're just picking the area that's in the boundary when it's meant to be a development for the city of Savannah area. And limited to just a real small area. I don't understand why this isn't a broadband route Savannah city. You know, capture more money that way if you said, oh, we're going to put, I don't know what the boundaries are for the city.
I think there was, in some of the examples that Glenn was talking about, there was redevelopment going on in those areas. And how did you pay for some of the public improvements that needed to support the new development in some of the area? That's where you see the tips come from, those particular things. And then, so it's just that particular area, we're limited to how many acres the total tip could be. So we just wouldn't have a tip for the whole city. It's too big. So you have to find an area, and this is where they're going to be, we anticipate, and Glenn showed how there has been some redevelopment, there's going to be, anticipate more redevelopment, so the values would change, and then we could, you know, capture those funds and then use them for a project right in that area.
By state law, there is a limitation of 300 acres.
Pardon?
By state law, we are limited to 300 acres.
So who's standard?
By the state of Ohio law enabling a TIF district. I don't know how many acres we have in this map.
Another question, why isn't this cemetery important in this?
Because the property tax is so low in that area per acre.
I mean, you can draw the line anywhere you want.
We could, yes.
But isn't the line based then on where the money can be spent? So if we make it super big, then the money could get used up to the amount that we have for that. Five-six work that's on the street, and people get home, but also work at 5-6-7-5-8. But if it isn't like this area that we're doing, then that's where the money can get used.
Correct.
So if we make it much bigger than the money that we use that much, but we want it to be right there. Again, the point is the money is only being used on commercial properties. That's the only money you're getting is from commercial properties, correct?
That's
so the residential properties aren't getting anything to it anyway.
Right,
so
the cemetery.
As many commercial properties in full as possible.
The cemetery is not residential, that's why it's not in it. And Mr. Armstrong, we should probably take those residential properties out of the map. Because they don't contribute to it anyways. And there's no ploy, there's no connection between changing your zoning and being in the TIF.
Well, it's, you know, since we're all new to this, the idea of the TIF, I think, sounds great.
Yeah.
I think it's a good way to put money into our downtown. We know that the downtown always needs some money and some additional financing, and if we can pay for it that way instead of pulling it all out of the general fund, that there's, it seems like there's a government cost to that I don't have, you know. But just with all of the sort of issues we have on Maplewood, I just want to be clear that I'm not trying to rezone some of the property here virtually against their will.
Your point is very well taken.
Can you answer the question, please?
What was the question?
Can you take the residential houses out of the
area? No question to rezone the houses.
We could, but you know what? People, there are going to be people coming to buy your properties.
Oh, they need to be faster. It ain't
happening. I understand, but you know, I'm going to tell you that people are going to be interested in economic developers. That's what our study tells us. Now we can take it out, okay? But that doesn't change. That doesn't change the
price. Not a problem.
Sir, okay, good.
We just have your name and address. Andrew Hill, 6745 Bayport. Thank you.
Bill, you're sorry.
Bill, you're.
Would there be a chance that us on the I know about the redevelopment, but is there a good chance that that redevelopment on Howard Street is going to be that? Not from the outside development, but if I have this stage, and I'd like to make more than included, is there a chance that our house will be included, at least like, I mean, keeping our side down?
So you're saying would we benefit in ways to help improve sidewalks and street lighting and stuff like that?
If the property was in the TIF, yes, you could, if it's not in the TIF, then there would not be a sit down.
The outside developer is not interested, and so if we're getting out of that, this decision about outside developers.
I take it that you're on the section of Maplewood that Kevin was talking about?
Correct, yes.
Well, then if we suggested if we took that out, and the streetscape right now is Main Street. And, you know, part of Main Street, the south end of Main Street was done a couple of years ago. We're gonna do Maplewood to the railroad tracks. And that's where it'll stop, and then that'll already be done. And when we do the streetscape on Main Street, will be the main, and then the infrastructure and things underneath, that'll be on Main Street, right in the middle of what we're proposing here as a TIF district. That'll be the area that'll get improved.
It's important to understand that the developer, to your question, if I heard it correctly, they're not gonna care whether it's in the TIF or outside the TIF. That will make no difference to them whatsoever. Pardon?
So based on that, why don't we include a few more houses in the TIF so we can put more money into the TIF?
Well, but Kevin, we can't because residential customers don't, there's no benefit to including the residential houses in the TIF area because we all, there's no incremental revenue. We've got to.
Because I wouldn't mind if someone liked that, but I'm not against that.
I understand, as long as it doesn't cost you anymore.
The last 2 to 3 years, we've all felt the pain.
We obviously can't control that fee. We're just trying to, we're trying to make hay while the sun shines.
I think Angela has a question, maybe.
Angie Christensen, 5774 Main Street. My business is at the very north end of here in Maine. And I just wondered if through this program, do we as business owners have a say kind of where the development happens and what happens? Because we feel at our end sometimes we're left out because we're more houses. We're not really included in the downtown. And so when anything happens, would we be able to have any say or good suggestions or? Are you
going to
have meetings on what you're
going to
be doing and that kind of thing?
I'm going to have Kevin, y'all talk a little bit about what our plans are downtown.
Yeah, one of the things that we're going to be, that we'll be getting started here pretty soon, I'll be bringing the city council here before too long, is that downtown streetscape improvement. And that will be that project, the intent of that project, and our goal of that project is to make Main Street, extend that downtown area so that it includes everything between Monroe Street and Erie Street. There's been that break because of some of what you mentioned is just the type of development that's in there has kind of created that. And so our goal is to try to eliminate that break, if you will, at Maplewood, and make that whole section between Monroe and Erie Street to downtown. And to do exactly what I think you're asking. So that's the goal of the streetscape project.
We spoke a little bit about this at an earlier DSA meeting, so I think stay connected with the DSA and with all these public projects. Kevin and his department always had a public meeting and we need that input, and that's going to be part of this. And again, council is going to be looking at also.
I guess I'm just wondering why the residential homes on Summit Street have continued to be residential homes. Some of them are rental properties, but it allows for lower rental small families to begin raising children in Sylvania and benefit from all that Sylvania has to offer. By why can't we exclude some of that affordable residential housing from the development area? So that you keep families coming to Savannah, and you keep, you know, not everybody can afford a $250,000 home. Not, and a four-person family can't always stay in an apartment. So, that's kind of what Curtis Savannah has developed over the 55 years I've been here. And I don't think we should just make way for developing some of that area.
So, there is a program that we haven't talked to you about tonight that can also redirect property taxes. It's called community reinvestment areas. The city, I believe, has 8 or 9 of them that specifically can be used just for those types of things. Promoting residential development, helping for affordable housing, helping for folks that own single family to have a portion of the new improvement that they're making, the renovation, be abated for a certain period of time. So that form of housing can be attractive to the community through that CRA program.
I guess my question is to keep the existing residents there free to buy and sell their homes as they like, and not be pressured by
there's nothing that is pressuring anybody to sell anybody, and people may do that. So if you're in that area, you may get approached, you may not be, and there's nobody saying you cannot sell this, your house to somebody else who wants to use it as a residence.
Can you rezone your property residential? Can a person rezone their property for
A3 residential? Not sure what the zoning
is. Well, here's how that works. The owner of the property has to apply to change the zoning. We don't have any of those pending.
Who approves that?
We do. City Council. I'm the chair of the Zoning and Annexation Committee.
I just wanted to follow up with what Andy said, jump on again. I felt very blindsided at the last downtown meeting where we were just told that the whole thing was happening. So I just wanted to also add to what Andy was saying, like, we want to lead through this. Like, we want to help to learn something. The vibe that we want, look the way we want, like, we love to have a team and all that. So I think that we've been working really hard to create a design committee for the downtown association. So, to have that
way for the department, we would definitely appreciate that. Jen, this is just the start of the process. There's no, you know, again, something that we looked at, this was a recommendation from the downtown plan that we had, and this was one of the recommendations, so we're just starting the process again.
But the thing with our capital, meaning we were like showing pictures of, like, this is what's happening on Maplewood. Right? That's a separate thing, but like it needs to all, but then
in terms of there were meetings and people participated in those meetings and had their input for what happened on Maplewood.
Russell Ford, 6743 Maplewood. First, I want to echo Danny's sentiments, but since nothing is written in stone yet, I would further propose that for those of us, the residentials who live in that area, and we're the most put upon in terms of street closings, traffic follow-ups because of all this, that we should actually get a tax abatement as a lot of this is going on. Our taxes should be reduced because, quite frankly, our quality of life is decreasing with all of these things.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any here wrapping up real quick. And if you think of something else after tonight, like I said, I would communicate with the, get you a copy of the presentation that Glenn gave tonight. And if you think of something else, please contact me at the city. We'll definitely get you an answer back. Debbie, do you have something?
I definitely from the I just wanted to clarify that when we talked about the TIF taxes, we talked about 120 parcels, local commercials, and industrial parcels, and so the residential areas would not be included in that TIF tax.
if we choose to go that way, and that's why we're kind of here tonight, to keep the residential occupants.
Well, Deb, there's no TIF tax. There is no TIF tax. Here's how this works, is you get an increase in your valuation, and the taxes that you're currently sending to the school, and to TARDA, and to the zoo, okay, when, if your valuation goes up $2,000, okay, or let's say your valuation goes up $5,000, the taxes that you paid before still go to all those people, okay? But the taxes on that $5,000 increase comes to the city, as opposed to those other folks. That's why we have to talk to the schools if we want to do a longer period, because we're taking money, we're taking money on the increase that would go to the schools. Instead, we're using it for redevelopment in the downtown area. So there's no TIF tax. So when the school, so when there's a school levy though, okay, and you go out and you vote for a school levy, and then your taxes go up, it doesn't go to the schools on the increased value, on the increased value when it comes to the city. Okay, so there is, but there is no TIF tax. It's a redirection of the existing taxes that you're paying other places to the city.
So the residential is included in that?
I think, no, the answer to that is no.
No residential.
No residential is included.
Whether you're in the TIF or out of the TIF, there's no change to the residential. Whether you're in the TIF or out of the TIF, there is no change to the residential.
Even if you're selling commercial, that's out of B2. So I'm not a residential plumber. That's a residential house.
It's just on the commercial. So if you look at the, three-digit code, residential is 500. We have no 500s in this category. It's just the 300s and 400s. It came up to the 128 parcels for that valuation.
So if she's zoned B2, she would still be a 500.
That's right.
Thank you,
Other questions? Yeah, I just want to follow up on something you said about the school. I didn't pick up on this earlier, but if schools are going to forgive that tax money...
They don't forgive. There's no forgiving. This is a change in the law.
If they're going to forego it.
Yes.
Then does that mean they're going to have to come back to us more often for larger levies to make up for the decrease that they would get not getting the taxes?
There will be revenue that the city will be getting that the schools won't.
Well, part of the clarification is which TIF, the duration that we, if we do it, how long? If it's a 30-year TIF, then we have to work out a deal with the schools. I think we're going to work with the schools any way that we can. And it's, again, they're going to maintain on that one chart you saw what they're getting now. It's not like they're getting... You know, it's on the increase.
Let me try to address that, Bill, because I've actually looked at this. That's a good question, Sarah. The Sylvania School District spends about $90 million a year on their budget. $90 million a year. If we do this under the 75-25, about 50 cents of every dollar of your property taxes goes to the schools. It might be 55, might be 48. It's about 50 cents of the dollar. So in this particular case, what we're talking about is over a 10-year period of time, we would raise about $800,000. About $200,000 of that, $200,000 or $300,000, would not go to the schools, which would otherwise have gone to the schools. And over that 10-year period of time, they're going to spend somewhere on the order of $900 million. So theoretically, you're absolutely correct. There's monies that aren't going to be there. But it's not enough money to make a material difference to their decisions.
And I think to go on that, you know, there is a benefit to the school system to have a developing downtown. And when there's improvements and people want to move here, and it's better for the overall community, more people are going to want to live here and invest here, and that will also affect what they get.
And at the end of the TIF, those increased property values and the increased taxes go entirely to the schools.
they're made whole.
Right, well, that might be your last question.
Oh, this development idea is great on key 5768. But my concern is, what are we doing about the parking? I mean, parking here is atrocious. And my business after 6 becomes municipal. So at this point, I don't want to be reliable for my parking lot after hours. So where are we at with the parking?
That would fall into the category of how we use the TIP dollars, and that's a great, you know.
But is there a plan for parking?
Well, we're going to continue to look at it as we develop and things do develop in downtown. So it's definitely one of the things when we first met with the consultant, she talked about a parking garage. Now, whether that's something feasible, that's something. So, yes, we always have to talk about where we go with parking.
Is there a thought that after 6 o'clock, my private parking could become municipal, so I'm no longer liable? Or should I chain off my parking lot to keep the people from parking?
We can talk again. We've talked before, and we'd be glad to talk more about that. Carmen?
Just real quick, Carmen Wigman, 5633 Marketing Street, Go Bay Salon. I have 55 employees. Sometimes I have 100, 150 customers coming through a day. It's about 2,000 to 3,000 a month. We drive a lot of business to downtown Savannah. The parking has been an issue since I bought my building. And it's been the same. Our employees park at the courthouse lot and they walk across the parking track, or the railroad track. So I would definitely be for some kind of parking project, some kind of infrastructure to help support everything that we want to do in downtown Savannah. All the new business we want to bring down here. Anybody who would want to attract would be looking at the parking. So.
Good point. But Carmen brought that up, and thank you, because I still see your employees every day, so that you consistently have had your people park over here and they cross the railroad tracks, and that keeps this lot right out here open for customers. So
it doesn't take care of it all the time, though. Still get complaints that there's not enough parking, or right. The restaurant next door is busy, and at certain times the parking lot is full. And once all these restaurants get back to more full capacity and are open later, it will be more of an issue as well.
One more, but thank you.
When would be the soonest project that would happen from this tip? What would be the soonest? Would it be in a year, 2 years, 3 years?
I have to get back to you with, and that's what we'll turn it over to the council and start talking to them about the timing and some things. So if we've got to get that, I know that'll go to a committee first, but stay tuned. We will keep you posted on all that information as we go through. I want to wrap things up here. I think it's been a very good meeting. Thanks for coming. If you've got follow-up questions, don't hesitate to let us know. Council, we all want to hear your thoughts on this. And the next step will be the consideration of establishing the TIP, what type of TIP, and then the whole time we'll be in that. So with that, we'll conclude our meeting here tonight. Again, thank you all for coming, and we'll take a little break here, and then council meets.